In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the entrance of the Theotokos. And on this day, we remember the Theotokos coming into the temple. She was given to God by her parents, Joachim and Anna. She went up the steps of the temple and went directly into the Holy of Holies. And she stayed in the temple precincts from then on. There was like an apartment for the virgins. And she didn't literally live in the Holy of Holies, but she was there all the time. Unheard of, because the high priest would go to the Holy of Holies once a year with fear and trembling, with a rope tied around his leg to offer expiation for the people. But the Theotokos lived in the Holy of Holies, or certainly was in the Holy of Holies probably daily. So we could talk about this feast and some of the significant parts of it. But really, it all boils down to, what are you going to do with this information? I try to be practical. Maybe it's me being an Irishman or something. But I don't see any use for knowledge unless you do something with that knowledge. There's no reason to know about Jesus Christ unless you become like him. Otherwise, the things that you learn in the Bible would be the same as learning and memorizing the phone book. It doesn't make any difference to our souls if we don't apply the grace that God gives to us in things we know and the things that he accomplishes in our soul. This is critically important. And I would have to say that I saw another way that I could sum up salvation. Those of you who know me reasonably well know that I come up with about 100 different definitions of salvation from the scriptures. My favorite one is that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Because that sums up our purpose. We're born to know God because we're made in his image. And being in his image, we're like him. And if we're like him, we should understand him. And we should be united to him. That's salvation. And there's a lot of other great theological definitions of salvation. But here's one that's very practical, that a child should understand. In fact, we teach our children this. We teach our children to make good choices all the time. And then we go ahead and forget about them when we're adults. The story about Mary and Martha, at the end of this story, the Lord has said to Martha that Mary hath chosen that good part. So salvation is to choose the good part, to make a value judgment about everything in life, and to say this is life and that's death. I don't want death, I want life. Even though life is harder initially than death. Life takes more effort than death. Life takes more pain than death. Until the next life, then death is very painful. But in this life, when we choose death, the way of death is what I'm speaking about now. When we choose the way of death, often it feels pretty good, or at least not so bad, but it's still death. And so Christianity is to choose that which is life, to choose the good part. And so this story is said for the Theotokos, all of her feasts. And it's a kind of peculiar gospel, really, because it's two pieces that are not related to one another smashed together. First, the story of Mary and Martha and the supper, where Martha's going around and serving and all that stuff. And Mary, she's just sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him. Martha's upset, and Jesus tells her, Mary hath chosen the good part. Then, right after this, from, I don't know, 50 verses later, a completely different incident, a completely different day. It comes to pass, it says, that a certain woman of the company lifts up her voice and says, "Blessed is the womb which bare thee and the paps which thou didst suck." And he says an idiom that sometimes is mistranslated in the King James, translated by people who didn't understand the church and didn't understand the Mother of God. It says, "Yea, rather." But really, it's not really that. The idiom is, "Yes, but there's more. Yes, but even more so, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And there's another definition of salvation: to hear the word of God and to keep it, to choose that good part. And every day I try, with varying levels of success, to choose the good part. And this is what I want you to do, to choose the good part. Our lives are full of activity. Much of it is totally useless. Our lives are full of information, and much of it is not even useless, but harmful. Not only in that its content might be immoral, but it tends to make us wooden and make us where we're unable to see God because we're sort of stupefied by the amount of information that passes our eyes and our ears. We must choose the good part. And so I suppose many of my sermons morph into this. Be fortunate I'm not John Chrysostom, or else I would be yelling at you guys about going to the Hippodrome. That's what most of his sermons became, where he would rail against the immorality of his age. Well, I'd say most of the time I find myself begging you to have a better inner life, to choose that good part, to read the scriptures every day. I'm not sure how many of you do. Every day. To read them with expectation, with longing, to sit at the feet of Christ and choose that good part. What you're going to do tomorrow when you go to work, most of it's going to be fantasy. Most of it's not going to be real. It's not going to be true. If you watch television tonight, the majority of that will not be true. Even interactions with one another, much of it's not true. Much of it is delusion. But the Gospels are true. They are the good part. They are what life truly should be. Of course, there's much in the Gospels that's the way life should not be. What I'm saying is the Gospels are teaching us the way of life, if you have eyes to see it, ears to hear it, a soul that's open to it, that you're sitting at the feet of Christ looking for the good part. So, I tell you again, read the Gospels. Read them every day. And pray. Not just a small little prayer, but find some time during the day to pray with your heart, either praying the Jesus Prayer or the Psalter or both. The morning prayers, if you wish. Perhaps a canon or akathist that really touches you, but not in a formal way. In a way in which you're begging God to come into your heart. Because your heart has darkness in it and coldness. And as a Christian, you should feel that coldness and want to be warmed. And choosing the good part is what the Theotokos did. This is why we venerate her so highly, because she chose the good part, because she completely gave her life over to God. Of course, her parents had chosen the good part. Her parents were very wealthy, but they lived like poor people. The reason they did is because they didn't have three times as much money as everybody. They gave a third of it to the temple. And a third of their income they gave to the poor, and they lived off a third of their income. So Mary was from good stock. And then she was dedicated to the Lord, and she had a period of time from 3 to, let's say, maybe 14 or 15, perhaps. Perhaps 12 years of preparation to become the mother of God and to choose the good part, to say yes to God, even with something she didn't quite understand, and to live a righteous and a holy life, completely dedicated to God. Much of the mind of the church is from her. Now we say, of course, the mind of the church is Jesus Christ, his mind. But she was his mother, and she learned so much from him that she then transmitted to the apostles in the, I think, approximately 30 years or so that she lived after the resurrection. And so much of the mind of the church is formed by the Mother of God, and that's why we have a great veneration for her. And she is the greatest example of mortal human beings who chose the good part. And you and I must strive to do that too. I was just talking with a young man a couple days ago who has problems with a long-standing sexual sin and giving some advice about that. And he admitted to me, well, I've gotten some of that advice, but I'm lazy and I don't do it. Well, okay, you're not going to get better. But if you do something that's not good enough, and you do it often, eventually God will see your faith. He'll see your effort, and he'll make it good enough. If you can't do what's good enough today, do as much good as you can. Choose the good part as much as you are capable of choosing. And God will make you better. This is a fundamental spiritual principle. We don't get better all at once, just a little bit at a time. But we must not be lazy. We must not be secular in the way we look at life. Life is not secular. All of life is about attaining eternal life. It's all about being like our Father and loving our neighbor and humbling ourselves and seeing the things in the world that are so terrible and praying about them. To have a heart that is soft, that is spiritual, that is fire. This is the good part. So if you're caught up with a bunch of stuff that's going on, you got this going on and that, and you got planning for this, and you got vacation to plan for, and you want to do a room addition, and you're trying to get promoted at work, and you've got, you know, 4 more Stephen King novels to read or something. Choose the good part. Every day. This is the most critical thing that you can do. Is choose the good part. Maybe you're not so good. I'm not good, but I'm trying my best to choose the good part. And if you do that by ordering your life in a way that's not secular, but is spiritual, then God will see you trying. And that scripture that you read, that you say, I have no idea what that just said, eventually it will speak to you. It will embrace you, and it'll be the most beautiful thing that you do every day. And the prayers that you pray that are often inattentive, or they don't really feel completely compelling and fulfilling, God will see your effort, and he will make you better. This is the most critical thing. You could listen to 1,000 sermons. And if you don't try to choose the good part in your daily life, that'll be of no use to you. You could commune the mysteries for 1,000 days in a row. But if you don't commune with the intention that you become better and that you choose what is good and Avoid what is evil. It's of no use to you whatsoever. Christianity is lived in the heart. We talk about it, we preach about it, we write books about it, and that's good to do. But it must be lived in the heart. This is what you must try to do every day. Doesn't matter if you're a really good guy or not such a good guy. Doesn't matter if you have a bunch of long-standing sins and habits and addictions. What matters is, will you choose the good part? This is what the Theotokos did. This is what the saints did. This is what we must do. We are not substantially different than the saints. They acted differently than we do, but we are of the same exact stuff. There is nothing superior in them that made them holy. They, of their own will, chose the good part. And they were weak like we are weak. But God made them strong because they continually chose the good part. I'll tell you a little story about choosing the good part. This is on my mind because I just finished with it. I went, one of my guys that I baptized, he called me completely in a panic because he'd been let out of prison. We knew that was going to happen, but they didn't let him out in the city that they said they would, with the bus ticket that they said they would. And he was unable to get to where they said he was supposed to go to the next day to talk to his parole officer. So he's in the middle of a section of town where there's a bus station. You know what those sections of towns are like? Well, the only place that was open was a dive bar when I got there. And so he'd been waiting for me 3.5 hours, and I took him to where he needed to go the next day, and now things are situated, and he'll be where he needs to be Monday. This is a man who used to be a drug addict. And for years, I didn't know him at this point. I didn't know him when he was like this. But he tells me that he was impossible to deal with. He never chose the good part. And it messed up his life. But somehow, after some multiple incarcerations, he really changed. And I know that because I know him personally. I know him heart to heart, eyes to eyes. I know him as a man, and he's chosen the good part. And he's never going to use again. Because that's the bad part. That's the part that leads to death. All he needs now is for those around him to say, you can do it. You can make this happen. And that's what I'm aiming to do, is tell him as often as possible. And when he starts thinking stupidly, I'm going to tell him that. When he starts thinking negatively, I'll tell him that. But he's chosen that good part. And he does read his Bible every day. So should you. I could tell you many other stories of those who choose the good part. You must be one of those stories. You must choose the good part. I'll tell you the three things, the practical things that I think that we all must apply if we are to choose the good part. The world out there is full of delusion. It's very compelling. It's like a narcotic that makes us unable to see things correctly. So you must combat that narcotic with reading the scripture, especially the gospel, every day. Other scriptures too, but read the gospel every day. Like Mary, when she listened to Christ at his feet, read it that way. And pray every day. Pray with all of your heart every day. not just saying some morning prayers or something like that, but try to pray the Jesus prayer with attention every day. Don't insult God by saying you don't have time. Don't do that. You have time. And then the other thing is, coupled with prayer, there's a lot of misery in the world. Terrible things. People going through, every single one of us is going through some sort of tragedy right now. Every single one of us. Every one of us could tell stories right now of things that are heartbreaking that we're going through right now. When you walk by somebody in Walmart, that person's going through a crisis, almost certainly. So much pain in the world. And for those that come into your little world, cross your path, you pray for them. You write their names down. You pray for them. As simply as, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon this person's name. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those that have harmed you before anybody else. If you do those three things, and they're not easy. They're not easy to do daily, and they're not easy to do with your whole heart involved. Many times they feel sort of wooden and sort of formal. But if you do them every day, you will be choosing the good part. Of course, none of this is done in a formal way. I mean, these are not things that you check off boxes and say, okay, I got the boxes checked off, I'm good. These are in the context of a heart that desires God above all things and that sees death in the world but life in God and tries to change. Changing your bad habits into good ones, changing the way you think, that is the way of death, into the way of life. Changing your heart from being hard to soft and cold to hot. So it's all in that context. Let's follow the example of the Mother of God. Let's choose the good part. Do a little bit better tomorrow or tonight. Start up with a good habit of reading the scriptures, of saying your prayers with more attention, and praying for others. If you do those things, then God will commend you, and He will come to you, and He will fill you completely. That is exactly what our goal should be, to have God fill us completely. May God help you to choose the good parts.